Lecture topic, the consequences of oppression.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala al-mab'uuthi rahmatan lil alameen. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. Faqad qala Allahu tabaraka wa ta'ala fi al-Qur'an al-Majid wa al-Furqan al-Hamid. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. ولا تركنوا الى الذين ظلموا فتمسككم النار وما لكم من دون الله من اولياء ثم لا تنصرون وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم اتقوا الظلم فان الظلم ظلمات يوم القيامه او كما قال عليه الصلاه والسلام honorable scholars respected brothers and elders it is possible for the wife of a nabi to be a disbeliever The likes of Nuh alayhi salam and the likes of Lut alayhi salam, the Quran emphatically makes mention and reference towards this here in the concluding verses of Surah At-Tahrim. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا امْرَأَةَ نُوحٍ وَامْرَأَةَ لُوطٍ كَانَتَا تَحْتَ عَبْدَيْنِ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا صَالِحَيْنِ فَخَانَتَاهُمَا That the wife of Lut as well as the wife of Nuh were disbelievers. However, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, مَا بَغَتْ إِمْرَأَةُ نَبِيٍّ قَتُّ It is possible for the wife of a Nabi to be a disbeliever, but it's never possible for the wife of a Nabi to be immoral and unchaste. In the very same way, in the same breath and in the same vein, in the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is room and there is place and there is shelter and there is amnesty for the existence of a non-Muslim state. Nay, they are in majority and they flourish. However, there is no room in the system of Allah Ta'ala for an oppressive ruler and an oppressive state. There is room for disbelievers. They will rule, they will govern, they will prosper. But there is no room and there is no place in the system of Allah for an oppressive ruler and an oppressive state. We come in from the history of apartheid, whether it took 2, 3, 4, 5 decades, whatever it took. But ultimately, in the planning of Allah, the system of apartheid had to be dismantled. This is the planning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the hadith Qudsi, Allah says, Ya ibadi inni harramtu al-zulma ala nafsi, wa ja'altuhu baynakum muharraman fala tazalamu. O my servants, out of my sheer mercy upon you, I have made oppression forbidden for myself. How dare you oppress? O my servants, there is nothing in essence which is obligatory upon Allah and there is nothing that is forbidden upon Allah. Whatever he has made obligatory upon himself, this is his mercy. كَتَبَ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ He says, I have made kindness and mercy and compassion my trait and my quality. And I've made it incumbent upon myself, but that's my mercy. In the same breath, I have made oppression and exploitation forbidden for myself. Just as a kind gesture to you. فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا How dare you oppress? You know, I came across a beautiful incident of a woman who was living on a farm. She had a little cow and she had a children with whom she was staying. The king was coming in his might and his presence and they were going on a hunting trip. They snatched the cow from this woman, which was the source of income and milk. They slaughtered the cow, roasted it and ate it. The next day when the woman heard about it, she was disturbed, she was hurt. Someone told her, tomorrow the king will be passing by. Maybe you want to meet him on this bridge. You know, make known to him your concern. If he hears you out, well and good. If not, that is the condition of the tyrant rulers. So this elderly, innocent woman came and she stood on the bridge. And as the king came with his presence and his might and his numbers, she said, listen, king, before you cross this bridge, I have one question to ask you. I only want to know, you want to settle me on this bridge or the bridge of Pul Sirat? I only want to know, the question is yours. Wallah, brothers, understand clearly. Allah has not made this world the place where justice will be meted out. Nor has Allah kept in the capacity of this world for justice to be meted out. Nor has Allah made the place where the happenings of this world will determine victory. If this world determined victory, then the grandson of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would never been assassinated. If this world determined victory, then Abdullah ibn Jafar's hands would have not been severed. تِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ This is a world. Some will be given power, some will be dropped. Some will be given respite, some will be given grace. This is the system of Allah. Hussein radiallahu anhu, the grandson of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, moments before he's assassinated in the battle, he calls his little child, 3-4 years old, Abdullah. He holds this infant, the great grandson of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Understand the system of Allah. The day that justice will prevail will be Qiyamah. When he picks up his little child, about to kiss the child to say, let me bid farewell to you, while holding that son, a stray arrow comes and hits this great grandchild of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the blood comes oozing out. Today you get emotional when you see footage, and rightfully so. It makes me cry, it makes you cry. I guess it will make any human cry. But just to understand, before you become a victim to a psychological despondency, which in essence is the object of the media, let's put things into perspective and understand. Inna yawm al-fasli kana miqata, that the day of Qiyamah will deal with justice. What did Nabi alayhi salam say? Ittaqu al-dhulma, fa inna al-dhulma dhulumatun yawm al-qiyamah. Don't oppress anyone that will be converted into layers of darkness on the day of Qiyamah. وَاتَّقُوا الشُّحَّ فَإِنَّ الشُّحَّ أَهْلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ. And don't let miserliness grip you. That is what destroyed the previous nations. حَمَلَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ سَفَكُوا دِمَاءَهُمْ. It provoked them to unjustly claim the lives of innocent people. The riwayat of Muslim Sharif, Abu Huraira is the narrator. Nabi alayhi salam said, لَتُؤَدُّنَّ الْحُقُوقَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Listen, Qiyamah is going to come. As Muslims, we need to reaffirm our belief that زَعَمَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَلَّنْ يُبْعَثُوا. The disbelievers believe under the notion, the pretext, that there's nothing like Qiyamah. In fact, even logic calls for the existence of Qiyamah. It cannot be that the dictators and the oppressors continue oppressing. Brothers, what a bleak time we are living in. What a sensitive moment we've entered into. ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ. Allah said, the land narrowed upon them despite its vastness. I am talking today as I stand, 30 years of age, that's my age. In the last 10 years, I had literally witnessed, if not heard, the invasion of Afghanistan, which was then succeeded or continued by the invasion of Iraq. The cry of the Palestinian Ummah continues, and now we witness the invasion of Lebanon, and Allah alone knows what is to happen. It's unfolding so rapidly, things are unveiling so quickly, and the bigger plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking shape. Nabi alayhi salam said, لَتُؤَدُّنَّ الْحُقُوقَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Qiyamah will see that every man is given his due. Hatta yuqada min ash-shati al-jalha'i ila ash-shati al-qarna. If in this world a horned goat knocked a hornless goat, on the day of Qiyamah, the latter will be given horns and the former will be denied horns, and justice will be meted out between these two goats. I ask you, my brother, and I ask you, my sister, when my Nabi has emphatically said that Qiyamah will see that justice will prevail between two goats, you mean the butchers and the massacres that are taking place now and continue to take place, and those responsible for the blanket murder and across brutality and the carnage that we continue to see, you think this will go unwatched in the court of Allah and these people will not be brought to justice? Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, the notorious blood shedder, who apart from those who he killed in the battlefield, conservatively it is said he killed 120,000 people. When he died, someone had seen him in a dream and asked him, Ma fa'ala Allahu bik? How did you fare before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He said, قَتَلَنِي بِكُلِّ قَتِيلٍ قَتَلْتُهُ قَتْلًا. In lieu of every unjust murder, every killing that I perpetrated or indicated or promoted, and that is the pain, the silence of the international world on such gruesome murders and crimes. Nay, the silence, maybe we'll digest it. The provocation, if not the support of such acts of terrorism, and yet to portray yourself as a victim. We believe that Qiyamah will see justice will prevail. What did he say? In lieu of every person that I killed, Allah made me taste the agony of death one time. وَقَتَلَنِي بِسَعِيدِ بْنِ جُبَيْرٍ سَبْعِينَ قَتْلًا. And make no mistake, every time you shower your rocket and you send your missile, 50 civilians go, and in one is one Allah's friend. In those 50 is one. Hajjaj ibn Yusuf said, for every murder, Allah made me taste the pain of death once. But for killing Sa'id ibn Jubair, Allah said, you are playing with my friend, you'll die 70 times. وقتلني بسعيد بن جبير 70 قتلا. Ya Allah, we cry to you. The Firauns of the previous times killed only the boys and left the girls alive. Allah, today they have taken both the boys and the girls. يُذَبِّحُ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيِي نِسَاءَهُمْ. Nabi alayhi salam said, مَنْ ظَلَمَ قِيدَ الشِّبْرٍ مِّنَ الْأَرْضِ تُوِقَهُ مِّنْ سَبْعِ أَرْضٍ. He who usurps a palm's length of land, he who usurps the land of someone this much year, تُوِقَهُ مِّنْ سَبْعِ أَرْضٍ. My mother Aisha narrates it, Bukhari and Muslim have it. He will be made, the seven earths will be made a necklace, and it will be then shoved down his throat. And let me tell you, the system of the justice of Allah is not like this world. That a man knows he's perpetrated the crime, he understands, but because there isn't tangible evidence against him, he walks out innocent. Nabi alayhi salam said it in the riwayat of Bukhari, إِنَّكُمْ تَخْتَصِمُونَ إِلَيَّ. Listen, you present to me with your arguments. وَلَعَلَّ بَعْضُكُمْ أَن يَكُونَ أَلْحَنَ بِحُجَّتِهِ مِنْ بَعْضٍ. Some of you are more articulate and more profound, and you come across more convincing than others. فَأَقْضِي بِنَحْوِ مَا أَسْمَعَ. I'm a human, I take your evidence face value with your skills of convincing. But rest assured, make no mistake, if you know it's not yours, my decision and verdict in your favor doesn't give you the rights to take that. I am only allotting a share of Jahannam for you. That is the system of the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That every person will be brought to the book and hisab will prevail. What does Allah say? وَكَذَلِكَ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we narrate to you the tales of the previous prophets, by virtue of which you relate to their lives and take support from their happenings. And it is with this spirit that I speak to you about the life of a Nabi, whom the Quran speaks about. But before that, let me touch one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيُمْلِي لِلظَّالِمِ. What a hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah has no place for an oppressor. However, Allah's system of dismantling oppression is gradual. Allah is very tolerant. These are the words of the hadith. Allah is very tolerant with an oppressor. Allah grants respite. Allah grants clemency. Allah grants leeway. Study the oppression of Fir'aun. He had ordered the general massacre of children prior to the birth of Musa alayhi salam. That was one crime. Again, in his foolish notion to deter the overall plan of Allah. فَالْتَقَطَهُ آلُ فِرْعَوْنَ لِيَكُونَ لَهُمْ عَدُوًا وَحَزَنًا. The child for whom he killed thousands of children, he picks up that own child. But that's the planning of Allah, and Allah wants to show him blatantly, you cannot change my planning. Subsequent to Musa's growing up and becoming a Nabi and 600,000 magicians accepting his message, again he realizes that his power is now at stake. His position is in jeopardy. For a second time, he commands the massacre of children across the board. Across the board. There is a misconception that as Muslims, we cannot coexist with other faiths. Wallah, throughout the decades and the times, we lived with our fellow non-Muslim citizens, and they flourished and prospered within our countries, and I have spoken about that. My topic is not that, I just touch on this and move on. Fir'aun ordered the massacre for the second time, for the second time, amongst the people that he massacred and he oppressed. Now again, I'm tying it up with Allah's grace, Allah's allowance. Not that Allah condones it, but Allah gives leeway. Nabi alayhi salam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيُمْلِي. Allah just leaves him. Allah unleashes his reins. Allah unleashes his power. So he goes full out. He goes for the jugular. He goes for the kill. It doesn't hurt him to see children. You see footage and you cry, and yet it makes no difference to him. He goes for the kill, and Allah allows him to go that way. Hizqil, there was a person amongst the tribe of Fir'aun who accepted Islam, who concealed his iman, and then his wife accepted iman. One day she was busy combing the hair of the daughter of Fir'aun, and the comb fell down. When you talk of oppression, when you talk of gruesome murder, when you talk of unjustifiable crimes, when you talk of no merit, to then speak about the oppression becomes oppression. How more can it be? How great a crime can there be? In the era of democracy, in the period of liberation, in the time we were hearing in the papers now, where two children, or I don't know, three, they killed a rat, and they mercilessly abused it. and they have been put in jail. Hi Allah, we cry to you Allah, our children die, there's nobody to take them to justice Allah. One insignificant creature, we respect the sentiments that courtesy be shown to animals. But three people who ill-treated one rat could find place in the prison, and thousands who perpetrate the crime against humanity, the international world is silent. Brothers, if it doesn't make your heart tear, I don't know if there's any heart left. I don't know if there's anything left. She was combing the hair of the daughter of Fir'aun and her comb fell down. She said, Ta'isa Fir'aun, what an oppressive dictator this man is. Immediately this woman was brought in the court of Fir'aun. You call me an oppressor? You call me a dictator? Man rabbuki ayyatuhal khaina? Who is your Lord? She says, my Lord is Allah and He is your Lord. Ila hadhal haddi? In front of me you deny my divinity. She says, I believe in one Allah. فَقَالَ الْحُرَّاسِ He points to the guards and he says, إِحْرِقُوهَا وَحْرِقُوا أَبَنَاءَهَا أَمَامَهَا. Listen, burn this woman alive. And do me a favor, bring her children and first burn her children before her eye. This woman, I was reading today the riwayat of Ibn Majah. بَابٌ الصَّبْرِ عَلَى الْبَلَىٰ The patience and perseverance on difficulties and adversity. In Ibn Majah on page 291, this woman was killed. Her children were killed in front of her. They were roasted in front of her. My Nabi said, when he went for Mi'raj, as he was ascending to the heavens, he said, Ya Jibril, ma hadhihi rihu tayyiba. Jibril, what a fragrance I get. Where am I passing by? Jibril said, you pass in the grave of the slave of Fir'aun, who died giving her life for the pleasure of Allah. Next to her are her sons, and next to her is her husband. Decades and centuries have lapsed. When my Nabi's conveyance ascends to the heavens, he gets the brilliant smell emitting from the grave. My sister, today you adorn yourself with the deodorants of today, and you impress men and you come across seductive. Allah alone knows when your grave will open and mine will open, what will happen. But here stands a woman. What I'm saying, Allah gives grace, Allah gives respite, Allah gives chance. Then what did Nabi alayhi salam say? ثُمَّ إِذَا أَخَذَهُ لَمْ يُفْلِتْهُ Then Allah grabs that dictator. You know, one is, I say this is an oppressor and he is a dictator. Allah himself, by his own admission, says Fir'aun was a dictator. Fir'aun was an oppressor. Can you imagine the clemency of Allah? إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ عَلَىٰ فِي الْأَرْضِ Verily he rebelled on the earth. وَجَعَلَ أَهْلَهَا شِيَعًا He divided the people into categories. يَسْتَضَعِفُ طَائِفَةً مِّنْهُمْ He said the Bani Israel have been created to serve and we've been created to rule. There is pleasure living in this world if four people exist. And if four people don't exist, trust me, there's no pleasure. بِعِلْمِ الْعُلَمَاء وَبِعَدْلِ الْأُمَرَاء وَبِسَخَاوَةِ الْأَغْنِيَاء وَبِدُعَاءِ الْفُقَرَاء بِعِلْمِ الْعُلَمَاء If there are scholars, learned, divine scholars, if they exist and they are just rulers and they are generous, wealthy people and they are pious, poor people. وَلَوْلَ الْعُلَمَاء If there are no pious scholars, لَهَلَكَ الْجُهَلَاء Then the masses will go astray. وَلَوْلَ عَدْلُ الْأُمَرَاء لَأَكَلَ النَّاسُ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا And if there is no justice, and there is no fairness, and there is no equity, then the mighty will thrive at the hands of the weak. They will abuse, they will exploit, and that is what this world has become. That there is absent, there are no just rulers left in this world. Allah, where are we living, Allah? In what a time has our eyes opened up, Allah? وَلَوْلَا سَخَاوَةُ الْأَغْنِيَا And if there isn't the wealthy, generous people, لَهَلَكَ الْفُقَرَى The poor will suffer. وَلَوْلَا دُعَاءُ الْفُقَرَى لَخَرَبَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنْ And if there isn't the supplication of the poor, the sky and the earth, both will be destroyed. Brothers, like I mentioned, that Allah's system is, then Nabi alayhi salam read the verse, وَكَذَلِكَ أَخْذُ رَبِّكَ إِذَا أَخَذَ الْقُرَى وَهِيَ ظَالِمَةً إِنَّ أَخْذَهُ أَلِيمٌ شَدِيدٌ Allah gives respite, Allah gives grace, Allah gives allowance. Then Allah grabs, this is the words of the Quran. إِنَّ بَطْشَ رَبِّكَ لَشَدِيدٌ The grasp of your Lord is intense. The grip of your Lord is very strong. Then when Allah grips, then Allah grips this Fir'aun in the center of the ocean. And what do the scholars write? This tyrant dictator who was responsible for the murder and the killing of thousands of people. مَاتَ مَلِكُ مِصْرَ بعيدا عن عرشه بعيدا عن سلطانه، لا طبيب يداويه ولا صديق يواسيه ولا عين تبكيه. Far from his kingdom, far from his dominion, in the depth of the ocean where no doctors are around him, no physicians are there to treat him, no eye is to cry upon him. فَمَا بَكَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَا كَانُوا مُنْذَرِينَ. Neither the sky nor the earth mourned his demise, and even the waters threw him out. Such is the fate of a dictator. Let me share with you an incident from the Quran, from the Quran. Listen, I can sit here, my brother, and take out, you know, extracts from the paper and captions from the media and conclude on a political analogy. But I think I'll be doing a disservice to this congregation, because I believe this honorable podium compels me that we conclude spiritually. You will listen to the media and it will leave you depressed, it will leave me depressed, and that those are one of the desired aims of it. We have gathered here that we conclude on a spiritual note. Allah speaks about a Nabi. After the demise of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, for 3 centuries, Bani Israel was subjugated to a host of atrocities and a host of crimes. And for these 3 centuries, there was no real ruler that governed them, and hence they had become a soft target. You look around the Muslim world, they have become leaderless. When I'm talking of leaderless, they lack moral leaders. They lack spiritual leaders. They lack leaders who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا كَانَ أُمَرَاءُكُمْ خِيَارَكُمْ إِذَا كَانَ أُمَرَاءُكُمْ خِيَارَكُمْ وَأَغْنِيَاءُكُمْ سَمْحَاءَكُمْ وَأُمُورُكُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَكُمْ. When your leaders are the noble, your wealthy are the generous, your matters are mutually discussed, then enjoy staying on this earth. But when things are reversed, Allah forbid, then the soil beneath you is better than the soil above you. وَإِذَا كَانَ أُمَرَاءُكُمْ شِرَارَكُمْ. When your governors are the evil amongst you. وَأَغْنِيَاءُكُمْ بُخَلَاءَكُمْ. And the wealthy hoard their wealth. You want, my brother, and I want, that the Muslim leaders can look beyond their internal differences and unite together and look at the bigger picture and then realize the strength of the Muslim Ummah. I say, before we take it on an international level, let's simplify it on a local level. How about you in your family forget your differences and join hands with your brother and look at the bigger picture? When I can't shift from my post and I can't leave my office and I can't bring you on board because of our political differences in my small network, then it's so foolish of me to speak to those sitting on their thrones. وَإِذَا كَانَ أَغْنِيَاءُكُمْ بُخَلَاءَكُمْ. The wealthy starts hoarding their wealth. وَأُمُورُكُمْ إِلَىٰ نِسَائِكُمْ. And women are exclusively made in charge of your empires. Then you are better off beneath the soil than above the soil. Brothers, bear with me in time. I will try and wrap up. There is a crisis in the Ummah. The Ummah is facing a global problem. It's time we use this platform to echo the correct message and we have things into perspective. Bani Israel had become a victim of a host of atrocities. They came to the Nabi of that time, Shamwil alayhi salam. Allah makes categoric mention in the Quran. They said that ask Allah to nominate amongst us a leader, a ruler, someone who can lead us to victory, someone across the board whom we respect. Nabi, ibath lana malikan nuqatil fi sabilillah. So anyway, Shamwil alayhi salatu wasalam makes dua to Allah. But then he tells them that listen, because they had become a victim to oppression, and the oppression against them had become so grave that finally they were carrying a trunk, which the Quran speaks about. In this trunk was the original scripture of the Torah. In this trunk was the turban of Harun alayhi salam, was the staff of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And they kept this as a blessing wherever they went in battle. By virtue of this, they were victorious. So they used to move with this here until there came a tyrant ruler from the nation of Amalika by the name of Jalut, And he came and he snatched this trunk away, which was their last thread of hope and blessings and divine attachment. Even that last thread was taken away. So now you were looking at the nation that had become a muscle to the tyrant rulers of that time. They came to the Nabi, they said, we have been sandwiched, we've been subjugated. Can history turn differently for us? Can we be recorded differently? Ask Allah to give us a ruler. So the Nabi said, listen, you want to engage these perpetrators and you want to take them on board because of their aggression and oppression and because of the carnage they have caused to you. But I'm afraid you make these statements, but when the time will come, you will be very weak. You will be very weak. You talk a lot. Today's Muslim awaits the arrival of Imam Mahdi. But I'm afraid, my friend, I'm afraid when he comes and the demands that he has and the victory with which he follows, 80% of this ummah will not able to stand up. So what happens? They make dua to Allah, Shamwil alayhi salam. Allah then blesses them with a person by the name of Talut. And Allah says, this will be your king, and he will be your ruler, and you will engage now these enemies, and Allah will turn the pages in history in favor for you. So immediately they object to him and they say, أَنَّا يَكُونُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ عَلَيْنَا وَنَحْنُ أَحَقُّ بِالْمُلْكِ مِنْهُ وَلَمْ يُعْتَ سَعَةً مِنَ الْمَالِ. Listen, this man, I think I'll be a better ruler than him. He's got no skills, no qualities, he's a poor man. The Nabi said, listen, you asked for a ruler, this has been the divine nomination of Allah. Honor the choice of Allah. They said, okay, we need some divine symbols to affirm that he has been nominated by Allah. So anyway, it was told to them that the trunk that was taken away from you will be returned to you by him. So it will come to the house of this king, Talut. When you see it, you must know that's a divine nomination from Allah. تَحْمِلُهُ الْمَلَائِكَ. Allah then, on the strength of the angels, returned that box and that trunk back to Talut, the king. So then they prepare. Now listen to this, brothers. I create a scenario and I take you back to that very region. I take you back to the Middle East. I take you back to that region. So what happens? They embark on this journey and this battle. Who is their leader? Talut. He is the king. Who is the Nabi? Shamwil. What are their numbers? The riwayat of Ibn Kathir, 80,000. The riwayat of Jalalain, 70,000. As they advance. Now today you want to mobilize. You want to march. You want to yell and cry by all means. But look where your strength lies, my brother. Then you accuse me for being orthodox, but my scriptures teaches me no different. The message from Allah in Quran is one and all. So anyway, as they leave and they go to engage this nation, the leader says, listen, you know, your spirit is very high and you're very vocal and very vociferous and outspoken and you're very energetic. Allah just wants to assess how strong you are, sincerely speaking. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُبْتَلِيكُمْ بِنَهَرٍ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُبْتَلِيكُمْ بِنَهَرٍ. They leave from Baytul Muqaddas. Where does the army leave from? Baytul Muqaddas. What did the poet say? أَبِي أَبْلِغْ ثَرَ الْأَقْصَى سَلَامِي. أَبِي أَبْلِغْ ثَرَ الْأَقْصَى سَلَامِي. Oh my father, you going to Baytul Muqaddas. Convey my salam to the soils of Masjid Al-Aqsa. Convey my choicest regards to the Palestinian Ummah and say to them, Ma mata law qutil ash-shahidu. He who dies in the liberation of Aqsa might be deceased to the world, but is alive in the court of Allah. We say the same sentiments, and may Allah take our sentiments. May Allah take our sentiments. They leave 80,000. They were extremely thirsty. The leader says, I just want to test you out. Allah is going to test you. I know you are thirsty. You're going to pass a river. Allah said, don't drink this water. Inna Allaha mubtaliikum. Now you are marching and you are mobilizing and you are yelling and then you are intervened by the time of salah and then you neglect your salah and then you abuse your sight and then you use vulgar language. I don't know how to explain the contradiction. As they come by this river, the test of Allah, the sentiments are high, you're energetic. But a simple thing, stand up at the time of Fajr. My brother, where are these numbers? For Allah's sake, bear with me. Where are these numbers? While that child dies and becomes a shaheed, and my sister becomes a widow, my son clubs on a Saturday night. He's too drunk to get up Sunday morning. He's not sober to come. And then you want to put out placards. I don't want to. Forgive me if I come across crude. Anyway, they cross the water. The prophet and the leader says, you drink from this water, our destiny is different. So they say, no, that's an unpractical request. That doesn't make sense. فَشَرِبُوا مِنْهُ. Now listen to the Quran. فَشَرِبُوا مِنْهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِنْهُمْ. They start drinking in quantity. They start drinking one way. Those that drank, he said, you are allowed to take a handful, so much water, just to little quench your thirst, that's okay, that's not a problem. But once you take more than that, that's a problem. Allah speaks of this in the Quran. فَشَرِبُوا مِنْهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِّنْهُمْ. The majority of them started drinking. When I say majority, what do I mean? I'm referring to 79,687, leaving them again with 330 in the very number of those that participated in Badr. Kitabul Bukhari, Babul Maghazi, Kitab in Bukhari, second volume. Bara ibn Azib says, the army that stood on the side of Talut and fought Jalut were the same like those that stood on the side of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and fought Badr. Once they drank from this water, they trespassed and they disobeyed. Look at the reaction of this. قَالُوا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا الْيَوْمَ بِجَالُوتَ وَجُنُودِ. Listen, it is insanity to go fight this superpower. Forget about it. You can go. We leave from here. The immediate result of drinking this water beyond the proportion allotted to them by the Nabi was, it resulted in instant and permanent weakness that just crackled their ranks. Allah says, take from this world, but drink a handful. Don't drink till you are saturated. It will weaken you. You burping, forgive me, from the front and the back, from everywhere. There's nothing left. Allah said, drink a handful. From illa man ightarafa ghurfa. Those that drank a handful, Tafsiri Uthmani writes that their thirst was quenched also. They told them, now you desert us and we got the army in front of us and they're in big numbers. They said, you want to go, you go, we don't come. Anyway, they advanced. What did they say? We are 313. Come, whenever Allah turned the decision, it was on small numbers. Come min fi'atin qalilatin ghalabat fi'atan kathiratan bi'idhnillah. Wallahu ma'as sabirin. They said, listen, throughout history, it was always small numbers that made the difference. Then as they came, amongst this group was a young boy by the name of Dawood, who wasn't a Nabi. When Allah decides the destruction of a tyrant, so what happened? There were three stones. The stones told him, Dawood, pick me up. Tafsiri Uthmani, he picks them up. As they get together, they face the superpower, they're 313. Talut calls his army. He calls the father of Dawood. He says, how many sons do you have? He says, I have six sons. He brings all of them forward. Then Dawood comes forward. The king on that side is so arrogant till the last moment, he says, one out, I'll kill all of yours. Dawood alayhi salam asked the king permission, you allow me to go forward. He says, go forward, I have divine rocks from Allah. Allah told Nabi alayhi salam, وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. When you took that sand and you threw, for the record, it was your hand but aided by me. Wallah, this ummah needs that hand to be aided by Allah. Whatever you release, whatever you say, the Quran said, وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. And then they went and Allah gave them victory. وَقَتَلَ دَاوُودُ جَالُوتَ وَآتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكِ. Allah turned the history of that nation differently on the number of 313. But though they drank from that river, they were of no good to the ummah. Forgive me if I'm crude. My brother, today you drink in, Allah forgive, from wine and haram. You drink in from everything forbidden. I leave you with my last hadith. Again, the hadith I tie up. Inna Allaha mubtaliikum binahar. When we were in the Middle East, Allah gave me the opportunity to go and see this river. It's an ordinary river, but just the fact that mention of it has been made in the Quran, that you'll be crossing this river. This river borders between Jordan and Palestine. As we were traveling, one of our guides, Allah reward him, he's telling me, Sheikh, do you know this river? I said, no, tell me, which is this river? He said, reference to Surah Baqarah, Inna Allaha mubtaliikum. This is the river that they cross. They march from Baytul Muqaddas. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says there are five angels that descend daily and they have five proclamation, and one proclamation also happens from Baytul Muqaddas. While you hear your child crying, let me also tell you of the proclamation of the angel. One angel descends at Makkah every day and one angel descends at Medina. One angel descends at Baytul Muqaddas. One angel descends at the graveyard of the Muslims. And one angel descends at the bazaars of the Muslim. The angel that descends in Makkah, he says, أَلَا مَنْ تَرَكَ فَرَائِذَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ خَرَجَ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. He who deliberately omits the things that Allah has made obligatory and compulsory and mandatory, tell him he has no share in Allah's mercy. Now, this is the ummah you are addressing. This is the foundation. That's not all. The angel that descends in Medina, أَلَا مَنْ تَرَكَ سُنَنَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَقَدْ خَرَجَ مِنْ شَفَاعَتِهِ. The one who deserts the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salam, tell him he'll be denied of my intercession. Just in this week, someone came and told me, Allah knows what happens to my blood when someone argues about the beard before me. Wallah, I will say this, and I will die saying this, and Allah's qasam, write it on my qabr. فَسَتَذْكُرُونَ مَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ. This attitude, that it's nothing but a sunnah, I actually see disbelief dripping from that statement. I see it actually coming down, that one sunnah is nothing, but one goal dictates who wins the World Cup. One vote dictates who rules the country. One mark dictates who comes out first in school. One cent dictates who is wealthier. But one sunnah of my Nabi dictates nothing. What sheer absurdity. And then we want to cry. You tell me to make kunut and nazila. What kunut and nazila must I make in Fajr when half the ummah is sleeping? This dua that Nabi alayhi salam used to make, Allahumma ansur man nasara deen Muhammadin waj'alna minhum. Waqdul man khadala. Allah, you help those that help your deen and make us amongst them. And Allah, you forsake those who desert your deen. I was making this dua, one great scholar, Maulana Saeed Ahmed Khan Sahib Muhajir Madani rahimahumullah passed away in Medina. He said, don't make that dua, you cursing the ummah, they have deserted the deen first. What is that dua? Allah, you forsake those who deserted your deen. He said, you cursing the ummah has deserted deen before others. So that's the second, the one who deserts everything, one goal decides the whole World Cup. But one sunnah cuts no ice before my Nabi. It makes no difference in the court of Allah. I swear by His grandeur, one sunnah of my Nabi is more beloved to my Allah than the skies and the earth. The third angel who descends in Baitul Muqaddas, and he's also crying out from there, Ala maniktasaba malan harama, he whose earnings are forbidden, contaminated, tell him all his actions are rejected. The fourth angel who descends at the graves of the Muslim, his cry is, Ya Ahl al-Maqabir, O the dwellers of the grave, I have one question to ask you. Now that you've gone down, what are your regrets and who do you envy? Maybe before you died, your regrets were, I didn't set my daughter up. But when things opened up differently, do you still maintain the same regrets or have your regrets changed? I swear by Allah, your regrets are different once you go down. Who do you envy? We envy those that obey Allah. And the one that descends in the marketplace, if you have a spiritual ear, you'll hear him. If you have a spiritual eye, you will see him. If you have a spiritual heart, you will feel him. إِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَذِكْرَى لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ أَوْ أَلْقَى السَّمْعُ وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. He says, the angel that descends in the marketplace, he says, مَهْلًا مَهْلًا. Listen, pause. How long will materialism blind you? We will talk about this and people will congregate and talk about sports. People will talk about politics. People will talk about everything. At least silence if you cannot speak and feel hurt about the pain of the Muslim Ummah. If it doesn't hurt you, then really, brothers. Mahlan, he says, pause. شَوَّقْنَاكُمْ فَلَمْ تَشْتَاقُوا وَخَوَّفْنَاكُمْ فَلَمْ تَخَافُوا. The angel says, we invited you to Jannah, but it looks like our invitation doesn't turn you on. وَخَوَّفْنَاكُمْ فَلَمْ تَخَافُوا. We warned you repeatedly, but it doesn't seem to deter you. Let you be informed. لَوْ لَا رِجَالٌ خُشَّعْ وَصِبِيَانٌ رُدَّعْ وَبَهَائِمٌ رُدَّعْ وَشُيُوخٌ رُكَّعْ لَسُبَّ عَلَيْكُمُ الْعَذَابُ صُبَّعْ. If it wasn't for the innocent children being suckled by their mothers and the animals in the jungle and the white bearded people, you would have been no more. These people have just held Allah's. You know, I often say, child is provoking you, but they are visitors that don't allow you to vent your anger. These people are the visitors of Allah that has just kept the wrath away from us. The child is inciting you, provoking you, but courtesy to your visitors doesn't allow you to become hostile and unpleasant. Wallah, these children, as they die and cry, as they fall and collapse on the name of Allah, Allah knows what will be their abode. We make dua to the Almighty Allah, just as the nation of Shamwil alayhi salam and the people of Talud, when they faced that army, they said, رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah, our nation deserted us. We are 313 in front of a superpower. We ask you, pour your patience on us, Allah. Hold our feet firm, Allah. We make dua to you, Allah. Those that are standing in the front line, Allah, you pour your patience on them. Say ameen, brothers. Allah, you hold their feet firm, Allah. And just as you help them, you help them. May Allah restore the glory of this ummah. And let every one of us return from your change, brothers. Not a decade and these eyes have seen so much. Not 10 years and these ears have heard so much. Is it not high time that we abandon sin, get rid of vice, and adopt the life of compliance to the dictates of Shariat? Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.